Shackled Potential on Radio Life and Style, and right now on a Friday morning, we're heading into the Friday Focus segment with Penny Faree in the house, in the studio, recapping the week that was on the local news front. Penny, how are you?
Good morning, Mark, and good morning to all our listeners on the North Coast. And we're going to start with one of KwaZulu-Natal's most significant industrial cases, which is going to be returning to the Durban High Court in less than 2 weeks. And the outcome will be directly felt across the North Coast. Tongaat Hewlett, the 134-year-old sugar giant in business rescue, faces a provincial liquidation hearing on June the 17th and 18th. The Maidstone Mill reopened for the 2026 crushing season on May the 20th, while workers gathering on the mill's traditional multi-faith prayer ceremony despite the pending court proceedings. The three local mills, Maidstone, Felixstowe and Matikulu, collectively service thousands of farmers in surrounding communities. They're operating but on borrowed time. A grower-led rescue initiative called Growers Co., established in mid-May, is pushing for the company to be saved rather than dismantled through the liquidation proceedings on June the 17th. The RDC extended its funding facility by 200 million rand, enabling the mills to open for the season, but the company's long-term future remains in the balance. The funding runs out at the end of June, the same month as the court date. Judge Reith Singh, who granted the April adjournment, said it would not be in the best interest of the people of KwaZulu-Natal for Tongaat Hewlett to be placed under liquidation. Whether a viable rescue deal can be concluded before June the 30th is a question that will be put to the courts on June the 17th. And closer to home, a Tongaat man has been sentenced to double life imprisonment and an additional 6 years by the Durban High Court after he attacked his two young sons with a K-knife, killing the three-year-old and critically injuring the seven-year-old. The National Prosecuting Authority says the 40-year-old one from the Isinembe area had a history of possessive and violent behavior towards the mother of the boys. On Christmas Day last year, the story rocked the North Coast community. The couple argued, and fearing for her life, the woman fled their home. She later arranged for both children to stay at a neighbor's house for their safety. The following day, the man burned all of her belongings. He then went to the neighbor's home, collected both boys without the mother's consent, and took them separately to a nearby field where he attacked them with a K-knife. The three-year-old tragically died from his injuries. The seven-year-old survived after a passerby found him and arranged for him to be taken to hospital. NPA spokesperson Natasha Ramkison Kara says the accused initially pleaded guilty, but the state rejected that plea after finding his version was inconsistent with the facts in the docket. The court amended the plea to not guilty, a trial proceeded, and he was convicted of murder, attempted murder, assault, and malicious injury to property. The NPA says it hopes the sentence sends a clear deterrent to perpetrators of gender-based violence and crimes against children. The condition and welfare of the surviving boy have not been disclosed by prosecutors. And we're closer to home now. A new law that could change how South Africa deals with illegal land invasions is open for public comment, and the deadline is 10 days away. The Department of Human Settlements published the Prevention of Illegal Eviction Amendment Bill in April. The proposed changes could introduce fines of up to 2 million rand and up to 2 years imprisonment for anyone who organizes or instigates illegal land invasions. Courts would be required to order the forfeiture of assets or money gained through illegal occupation. Municipalities would also gain expanded powers to apply for urgent interdicts, even where they do not own the land being involved. On the North Coast, this is very relevant and it is immediate. Kwadukuza Municipality is currently in high court proceedings over an illegal occupation on the P445 Belito Drive extension. In Mshlali, Transnet is also seeking legal counsel on its land owned behind the old railway station, which remains illegally occupied, with local business owners calling on authorities to intervene. The bill has drawn criticism from housing activists and civil society organizations who argue it threatens protections for working class and vulnerable tenants. If you want to have your say or look at the bill, public comment closes on June the 15th. You can submit written comments to pi.amendmentbill at dhs.gov.za. The full draft bill is available on their website. And on Tuesday, on Uncensored, we speak to the North Coast Land Specialist, Attorney Gavin Stonehobel, about what these changes could mean for property owners and residents on the ground here on the North Coast currently facing challenges of illegal invasions. And finally, we're looking at a major agricultural investment is being planned for the North Coast, but many of the details remain under wraps. Kwadikuza Mayor Studuzo Gumede highlighted a proposed new macadamia processing facility in Darnell during last week's budget adoption process, identifying it as part of the municipality's economic development pipeline. The project is being spearheaded by Mayor Max South Africa, one of the country's largest macadamia processors and exporters. The grower-owned company processes nuts from farms across South Africa and supplies international markets. It already operates our processing facilities in Mpumalanga and on the KwaZulu-Natal South Coast. Mac Mayor first announced plans for the Darnell development in March last year, describing it as a multi-year project and a significant investment in the region. The company says the facility is intended to support the continued growth of the macadamia industry while contributing to local economic development. However, key details have yet to be made public. The company has not disclosed the value of the investment, the number of jobs expected to create, or when construction is likely to begin. Mayor Max says further information will be released as the project progresses. For now, the scale and potential impact of the development remain questioned, and those are still to be answered. And finally, something to look forward to as winter settles in on the North Coast, the 2026 sardine run, it's on its way. Early sightings, we said, were recorded along the KZN South Coast in the last week of May. And fishing experts say the main run could begin at any time. Conditions suggested it may coincide with the June school holidays. Every year, millions of sardines migrate northward from the cold Cape waters towards the wild coast in KwaZulu-Natal, drawing dolphins, sharks, whales, and gannets in one of the greatest marine spectacles on the planet. The run typically continues through to August. The timing varies each year depending on ocean temperature and conditions. If today's chill on the North Coast is anything to go by, winter has arrived. That may be just the conditions the sardines are waiting for. And this is Friday Focus for the 6th of June. With cool mornings and daytime temperatures reaching the low 20s, a good time to be on the North Coast.
I would agree, Penny. And we will have another Friday Focus same time next week, looking back at what goes down between now and then. And no doubt there's going to be plenty to report on, as usual. You heard it. And Friday Focus, proudly coming out of your speakers on 88 FM. Penny will be back with the Ripple on Monday.
Yes, we've got some exciting stories to tell everybody on Monday. So it'll be available at 7:30. We'll be focusing a live segment on that.
Serving up some feel-good news for your start of the week. But right now, back to the music.